Shall we look to the Lord? Father, this evening, this night, we come to you. Once again, we want to say thank you, Lord. We know, Lord, doesn't matter how many times we keep saying thank you, it's not enough. Because we see only a tiny little fraction of what you have done and you are doing. One day, when we are with you in eternity, we'll not have enough words to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, thank you. That's why by faith you said, to give you thanks in everything. Wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you once again for 2023. The ups and the downs, it doesn't matter. You were there through it all. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, thank you. Once again, we come to you, Lord. We surrender. So that you can speak to us. And we can hear. Because Lord, you speak only to surrendered vessels. Your spirit flows only into surrendered vessels. So as best as we know and how we can, we just surrender once again, Lord. Speak to us. Pour your spirit even more into us. For you are the one who gives the spirit without measure. Without measure. Give us, Lord, as much as we can hold, take. Pour your spirit upon us, Lord. We wait in your presence. We know you will speak. Because you always speak. Touch every ear. Plead the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus over every ear. Ears that hear. Anoint eyes, Lord. Eyes that see. Cleanse our lips with your fire. Let grace be poured upon all our lips. That we will be a people of grace. And of truth. And of power. And of authority. But that's what your kingdom is. And above all, a people who walk in love, in faith. So we commit ourselves, Lord, into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. We'll turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. If you have still got your morning's cap on, remember, we are kingdom people. Kingdom people, no? All of you who work in the secular realm. If you put 2 years of kindergarten plus 12 years of schooling plus 3 years of undergraduation, and if you do PG another 2 years, then if you want to study even more, put all those years together, right? How many years is 14 plus 3, 17 plus 2, 19 plus those who study even more for a 30-year career. And then you sit at home. How much do you think we need to study for the kingdom, which is forever and ever and ever? Where we will work and serve the king forever and ever. Where if you are an overcomer, you will reign with him in eternity. Okay? So get that head on. Kingdom head. And always remember the kingdom, because the gospel is the gospel about a king who came to redeem his children. And a kingdom that is coming. And I see it coming closer, 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 closer. We live in anticipation of the kingdom. The only reason we do not say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, is because, Lord, I don't want to miss my crown and I don't think I'm ready for it. So give me a little more time to finish my exams. That should be the only reason. Okay, no other reason. So these two verses, if you are hearing it for the first time, from here, mark it in your Bible, because the sum total of a believer's life. Because we have Justified. We have been justified. We have a right standing finally with God. We have peace. So 2023, we need to have peace. Okay? Don't enter into 2024 without peace. Have peace about the last 364 days and 22 hours. Peace. Have peace with God. With man, you still get some time to make up after the service, but with God, it's just a whisper away. Lord, have mercy on me. He already knows. He already knows. And he's not upset. He says, just come to me. Make peace. Make peace. Whatever it is. Okay. He says, even if your sins are scarlet, I'll make it white as snow. He says, let's reason together. Do you want to walk, go into 2024 with that baggage? No. Okay. So that's our past. Peace about our past. Once we have peace about our past, which is also by faith. Remember, by faith, we have to believe. If you confess, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You have to believe. Second, we stand now. What? In grace. The grace of God. And if you understand grace and life, you understand grace, you will realize you will never meet any eventuality in life which grace cannot handle. It is not just the unmerited favor of God. It is also the unmerited divine power of God. Favor alone does not work. You need power. It is the unmerited power of God. He just gives it to his children who believe. Okay? We stand. So when you have peace about your past and you're standing in the grace of God today, when you look into 2024, hope. Hope, hope, hope. Past, present, and future. Very simple. When you're talking to believers, you tell them, the believer's life is Romans 5, 1 and 2. The past is taken care of. The present, you're standing in the grace of God. And you will look into the future. It is the hope of glory. Okay? So let's go to the first text for today. This was just so that you get the idea of how to look into your past and your present and your future. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come to me. We have come. I mean, children, of course, should be like that. Should not be troubled by parents. Let them enjoy their childhood and teenage. No, should enjoy. As they grow, only put weight on them. Don't put weight on them which they cannot carry. It's not their weight to carry. It's our weight to carry. Okay? So don't put weight on children's shoulders. Okay? Let them enjoy their life, pray and all. But we know 2023 was a tough year for the world. Tough year. It's a tough year for the world. What 2024 holds, we do not know. But in the light of scripture, things are supposed to get worse and not better. Politically speaking, economically speaking, things are supposed to get worse, not better, but we do not know. Because if you look at the things that are happening, it seems nobody is in control. But you know God is in control. Some of the things which are happened has make no rational explanation. And then you realize what it means. God is orchestrating a whole series of events ultimately to bring his son's kingdom down. That is the only thing that is making sense. Nothing that is happening makes any sense. Why are leaders doing such stupid things which makes no economic sense, no political sense? People are dying in their thousands. It doesn't make any sense. So the question is, what is happening? Then you understand the heart of the king is in the hand of God. And he directs the course whichever way he wants. Because we are thinking about temporal life. He's thinking about the kingdom of his son coming. Okay, so that's how we need to look at it. That's why we have to be kingdom people. Because it was so crammed. Headlines change every hour. Every 30 minutes headlines changes. Okay. And if you notice, the war is no longer in the headlines. Nobody's talking about the Ukraine war. Still people are dying. Of the whole war that took place in Ukraine last week, Russia's most massive attack took place. Nobody bothered because they are interested in another war. So if you actually look, and then there are people fighting their own wars, personal. It's okay. It's all part of it. Okay, you cannot escape this. Wars within, wars without, the great hymn writer sings. It's true, there are wars within. Apostle Paul talks about it. He says, who shall deliver me? Because like I said, we may look good in our bodies, but it's a body of death. That's what the Bible says. It's a body of death. Corruption going in. Okay? So people get tired. People get weary. And those of you who work in the IT sector are more weary. Because they are the modern pharaohs. Modern pharaohs. Okay? And what happens is, like I said, I look at the world in which we live in, and I look at, because I have passed, because nowadays our generation is no longer 40 years, it's 4 years, I think, right? Okay, so I have come through many generations. Okay, many generations from, and I look at the amount of gadgets we have, which is supposedly to make life so much easier and give us so much time, and yet a generation has no time. A generation in my lifetime, in this past 3 years, I see people working from everywhere, even from the bathrooms. They are working, every space has become an office. Even in the church, we have seen people sitting, because they have to check in online, they're sitting at the back, 1 year listening to the sermon, another they are working. Okay. So people are tired. You're weary. Tired. Weary. Okay. And this was not the way life was meant to be. It's never life meant to be. God did not intend life to be like that. But above all, the question this evening, first question is, are you weary above all by the weight of sin? You may not be conscious of it, but it still lives a weight upon you. You may not be conscious about it. Why is 2023 one of the years where so many people committed suicide and they were not believers? What was the weight on them? It was the unconscious weight of sin. They couldn't handle it. So many celebrities committed suicide. What was it? The weight on your soul. It's the weight of sin. And a point comes when you cannot handle it anymore. All you want to do is take the easy way out without realizing it is not an easy way out. The weight of sin. It weighs on the soul. Hopelessness. And these, many of those people who committed suicide were not poor people. They were unbelievably rich people. Famous people. It is not that they didn't have anything. They had everything. But the weight was too much to bear. They just took the way out. The weight of sin. Life without purpose. Heavy laden. Then those who are religious. The weight of religion. Don't laugh at them. Because we were all part of it. We may not have been religious. But if we were, we would have been in that same point. The righteous, religious Hindu who wakes up early in the morning, before sun rises, he needs to catch the sun. He has to say all his mantras, day after day, week after week, year after year after year after all those things he has to go through. If you are a righteous Muslim, from the time you are taught, kneel down anywhere you are, pray 3 times a day, do all this stuff, the weight of religion. And yet the weight is never lifted. The weight of sin. The weight of religion. Average man goes through this. Every man goes through this. The weight of it. Both the sinner and the righteous, those who are trying to be righteous, are trapped. And then comes in the whole of humanity, from Adam to the last man, a lone voice of one man alone. Come to me. Come to me. No other man before or after has ever said this or given them the guarantee. You come to me, I will give you rest. It's a lone voice. It's a lone voice. Jesus is not a pluralist. He's exclusive. Amen. Come to me. I was talking to my young pastor in Jamshedpur. He called. And I told him, all roads may lead to Rome, but they don't lead to God. Only one way. And it is when the Roman Empire was at its zenith, that voice said, I am the way, not Rome. Come to me. But we have to go to him. We have to go to him. He's not showing the way. He is the way. He is the bread of life. He is the door. He is the gate. He is the good shepherd. He is the truth. He is the life. He says, come to me. Because sin makes you helpless. Religion makes you hopeless. Come to me. The most religious man of his time said this in Romans 7 and verse 24. This is the cry of humanity. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And there is a voice that says, come to me. Yet millions upon millions perish without going to him. So this final night of 2023, if there is still anybody here who hasn't actually, truly, from your heart, gone to Jesus, go now. He's still waiting. If you really haven't surrendered your heart, not your head, your heart, Lord, I come to you. He's the waiting Savior. He knows those who are hopeless. That's why those awesome incidents in the Bible. We heard about the kingdom. We heard about the power, the authority, everything about the kingdom. But there was the king who went one day. It was hot. And he walked all the way. He sat down by the well. Sent all his disciples away. Because he was waiting for one soul that had no hope. She wouldn't come to him. So he went to her. And he sent everybody so that she would have the courage to approach him. So this evening, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking to you kingdom language. If you have not gone to him, he's calling you. Come to him. If you come to him, he will deliver you from that body of death. He will deliver you of that weight. He will deliver you of that hopelessness. And he will put hope into your heart. Romans 7:25 says, but I thank God
Who will deliver me? I thank God.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. I wrote an interesting sentence. I don't know how. It's grammatically correct, but you have to catch the meaning. God is the only person who remembers to forget. He's the only person who remembers to forget. He remembers all our sins. But when we go to Him and confess, He forgets. We remember. We have elephant's memory. He forgets. When any man, woman, child, nation repents and turns to Him, He not only forgives, He forgets. Forgets. Okay. So this night, if you take it to Him, guaranteed, doesn't matter which man remembers, Jesus of Nazareth will not. Will not. Just don't go in 2024 and remind Him of the things which He have forgotten. Lord, if you haven't forgotten this sin, I am not very sure. Don't remind Him. He's forgotten it, okay? So He not only forgives, He forgets. Remember, no more is what He says. Okay? But you have to go to Him. You have to go to Him. He calls, come, but I have to go. You have to go. He will wait. Wait. Some of you are still waiting. There's a story told about this guy whose friend was, he did not know the sea went a little further and then there was a reef. So he went down and then he fell off the reef into deep waters. And his friend was on the shore, started shouting at the lifeguard, saying, please, please, please help my friend. He doesn't know how to swim. And he said, it's not time yet. And the man was struggling, struggling, struggling. And he said, come on, please, please. He said, it's not time yet. And then finally the man stopped struggling and started sinking. And then the lifeguard jumped in and pulled him and brought him yet. He said, when he brought him, he said, I was waiting for him when he was ready to receive my help. Okay. So you need to realize. The earlier we realize we are helpless, the better it is in life. Okay. The story of the prodigal son is a story of God the Father and His children. And he would wait until the prodigal son was absolutely helpless. Back against the wall, in the pig pen, hungry, nobody, nothing. Then God said, come back. Then he came. As long as you try, he will wait. Because grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. If you understand these truths about the kingdom, like I said, truths about the kingdom, it's an awesome thing to wake up in the morning and tell God, I am helpless. Here I am. And you will understand the power of grace. The power of grace. That's what Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 is talking about. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man boast. It's a gift. Can never earn it. And only He can give it. The once you really, really understand this and enter into that experience, that's the end of religion. And the beginning of a relationship with the living God. Okay. Living God. The Savior and the sinner. The Samaritan woman and the seventh one. After that, our cry changes. When you have encountered Christ, your cry changes. Your cry is now what is written in John 4:29. Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? He knew it all. The good, the bad, the ugly, the unprintable. He knew it all and he did not condemn me. He knew it all. He knew it all. He didn't look down upon me. He didn't condemn me. Nothing. He just received me. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Once you have an encounter with him, you will also go and witness to everybody. Come and meet him. He knew who I was and he never condemned me. This is the first rest Christ offers. Rest in his saving power. Rest in his salvation. There are some people here who need to have that rest. Once you have come to him and he has received you, never ever question your salvation. Never ever question your salvation. It is a free gift. You cannot afford to live in that tension. Rest. All he said was come. We went. He said receive. We received. Rest. 2023, before the year ends, make sure and decide, I will never question my salvation, because it is not based on my work. It is based on his work. In religion, you have to constantly question, is it enough? Is it enough? Is it enough? Have I prayed enough? Have I done enough? Did I get the mantra wrong? Did I question? Because it's entirely dependent upon him. That's why there is no confidence in any religion. And don't take that into a relationship with God. Our confidence comes because it is not based on my work. It is based on his work. And I put my entire trust, that is faith, my entire trust on him, and we are justified. Just as if he never sinned. My whole trust, O Lord, is in your work. That Father, you are satisfied completely by the work of your Son for my sins. I rest in that. And then every day, keep on going to him. Every day of your life, till the day you die, the cry goes out. If you can hear, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. And we go to him. The Bible says in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, he is able to save us to the uttermost. Who? Those who come to God through him. Keep going. There's one salvation from the penalty of sin. And there is another salvation which is ongoing every day. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. He will do it, but we have to go. Because his desire is to present each one sitting here one day to the Father. How? Blameless in the spirit, in the soul, in the body. Father, here is the sheep you gave me. I brought them through. Here they are, blameless, without spot. But for that, we need to go to him every day. That's, we have to make that choice. Okay. Animals don't have that choice. Angels don't have that choice. Only we have that choice. So make it your decision. 2024, every day I will go to him. And he can save you from your fears, your griefs, your sorrows, your wounds. He can save you to the uttermost. And all are welcome. Sinners and saints, whatever category you want to put yourself, all are welcome. I will give you rest is an ironclad promise from the king. Because the most important thing is Romans 5:1. Ultimately, the most important thing is that, you know what? We need peace with God. Peace with God. Ultimately, only one person matters. Remember the thief was crucified beside Jesus, the one who made it? It didn't matter. Finally, you are at the last stages of your life. You are in the last moments and you realize all these people don't matter. Only this one matters. Only one person matters. Nobody else matters. Ultimately, at the end of your life, only one person matters. And Jesus said, you shall be with me in paradise tonight. That's it. That's it. Because sometimes people are tired of pain, hopelessness, whatever. They want to go. But I always tell, when you go, go with him. Only person that matters. The last stages, 2023, last stages of my mother's life was very painful. Okay? So she kept saying, I want to go. But I was not just her son, I was her pastor. So I would hold her face in my arms at night, kiss her on the forehead and tell her, not yet. A little more. Fight a little more. I'll tell you when it's time for you to go. A little more. This pain will be gone. In an instant it will be gone. It will be on the other side. It will be over and forever and ever. It's peace. Fight a little more. Because you will realize, sometimes people just quit. Give up. Give up on life. Give up. God says, come to me. Come to me. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. That's why when I look into 23, is the number of people who died hopeless. They just took their lives. The highest rate of youth suicide in my times, all those years I have lived, ever recorded, young people just dying. But God is calling everybody. Jesus says, come to me, I will give you rest. Then you go to Matthew 11, the other two verses, 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now from the first rest, which is the burden of sin and religion we are carrying, he said, you have given that up, entered into my rest. We have a relationship. Learn. Let us learn to walk together. That's what the yoke symbolizes. In a yoke, you have two parties. Let us learn to walk together. This is the rest. The second rest is offering. This is the obedience that comes by faith. There are many yokes in the world. The devil's, human, world, so many yokes. They are not easy. They may look easy, but they are not easy. Ultimately, they will cost you and they are heavy. That's where he comes and says, take my yoke. Let me tell you, for most people sitting over here, that is where we falter. Taking that yoke. Learning to walk with Jesus. He says, take my yoke, not any other yoke. And he makes it clear, only one yoke is easy. Only one burden is light. The obedience, the discipline that comes by faith. We saw this morning, if you want to have a glorious eternity, you'll enter in. Eternity will be glorious, but we too want to be glorious in that eternity. As stars differ in glory, so will the saints. That is the hope of glory inside. Okay? So we looked at it and said, this is what God is talking about. Simple life principles that prioritize your life, organize your life around the priorities, and then discipline yourself. So we saw the priorities this morning. Very simple. Jesus reduces it to two. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is his priorities. Then organize your life around it. And if you're bold enough every day to ask God, Lord, does this matter to you or not? You will start hearing. See, we don't hear because we don't ask. We already presume we have the answers. Okay. Then he will realize this doesn't matter in the kingdom. Let's get rid of that. Get rid of that. Put this in the order. We will get our priorities right. Organize. And then you have to discipline yourself. Discipline yourself. Okay? And this is where the trouble is. This is where. It's not enough to be saved and not live by faith. It's not enough. The discipline, the obedience that comes by faith. Psalm 127 verse 1 and 2 is not written for the unbeliever. It's written for the believer. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Rest. Sleep basically there means rest. You can sleep and get no rest. And you can have rest and need very little sleep. Okay. It's talking very seriously to people who are already in the kingdom. I told you the Bible was not written for the Jews. It was written for God's people. The Jew doesn't understand the Bible. Whenever he reads the Bible, there's a veil that covers him. When he turns to Christ, he starts seeing. And we are people who turn to Christ. Therefore, we should be able to see what they are not able to see. That is scripture. So God says, don't go around like this in life. Labor, labor early in the morning and then late in the night and then eat the bread of sorrows. Bread of sorrows. He says, that's not what life is. That's not the way to live. He says, that's not the way. He says, no. He says, take my yoke upon yourself. Yoke upon yourself. No. If you look at the old time stories and all this, no, this guy going with a gold plated, he didn't know, medal or trophy, trying to hawk it at a shop because he doesn't have money. And those people say, oh, this is not really gold, it is plated only. And he says, this is what my company gave me when I retired after 40 years of service, and it is only plated. 40 years. 30 years. This is how people live. God says, don't live like that. Don't live like that. You see, Pastor Vijay and I, your pastors, we had to make we were not failures. We were not unsuccessful people in the world. When I was 23 years old, I sometimes cry when I look at it. My first salary was higher than my father's last salary. Because between he retired and I got my job, the pay commission had changed. And I'm looking at this man who worked so hard. His last salary is this. And my first salary is higher than him. Okay. But there was a point in life when we had to obey. Or live saved without purpose. I'm not saying God is calling any one of you into full-time ministry. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying to find purpose. Otherwise, this will be life. Don't end up there. The kingdom is bigger, much bigger than you think of. No. 8 years old, Moses discovered purpose. His life changed. Life changed. Discover purpose. Jesus says, take my yoke upon yourself. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Why? How does it become easy? How does it become life? Because there is only one way. Absolutely only one way we are allowed to live in the kingdom. That's Galatians 5:6. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything. It's meaningless. But faith working through love. What makes a yoke easy? Faith. What makes a burden light? Love. What makes a yoke easy? I trust God with all my heart. I've read this. I've seen the lives of people. And I've seen him in my own life, the whole of 23. Each one of you have your testimony from morning, from Praneet's onwards. We've been hearing. What makes the yoke easy? It's faith. That's why we teach faith. That's why we teach faith. But teaching faith and practicing faith is another thing. Another thing. Even in little things, you have to ask. Okay, because the thing is that there are people listening. Most of you by the end of the day, night, tomorrow, will forget most of the things you hear unless you go back and make it a discipline to hear the message over again. God will speak to you again and again. He'll speak to you again and write down. Those who write down, they say, will remember more than those who just heard. What is it? We will forget. That's why God's given us somebody called the Holy Spirit in us. And he says, he will bring into your remembrance everything that you have heard. Why it's important? Because I can't and you can't remember everything. Only God can do that. If we remember everything at the same time, we will go crazy. Our brains probably would explode. So what we need to remember, we need to remember, and there is a person given. And he will tell you. And you have to learn to depend upon that person. Not just in your examination hall, in life. Lord, bring to my remembrance. It's your daily prayer. Why? Because you said your yoke is easy. Okay. I was talking about my life in the secular world, you know. It was not secular for me, but the world I lived in was secular, religious, whatever it was. So even my first job, that was when I was young, 23 years old, and my second job, which I was much older. What was thing is that I never spent money. When I got my first salary when I was 23 years old, after a month, the accountant came to the staff room and said, there is somebody here who has not cashed his check second month. And everybody is looking at, because everybody, the first thing they get their check is they run to the bank, right? And I haven't cashed my check. He said, sir, please cash the check, because unless you cash the check, I cannot tally the accounts. Okay. So by the time 10 months are over, my first salary is still sitting in my drawer. Okay. Second job also the same thing. I don't have time to go to the bank and put, I don't even have a bank account. Okay. So my cash is sitting in a box in my little room. And my whole furniture is one table, two chairs. I sleep on the floor because I know I'm on mission. One day I go back from college, come back in the evening, I enter in my house and I needed money for something and I open the box and I say, oh, did I forget? I don't see any money there. All the money seems to have gone. Okay, and I looked around, the door is locked. This, who would have taken my money? But I said, maybe I forgot or somebody got into the house. Who can get in the house? There's only one small window by which anybody can get in. That's a small little window. The others are all closed from inside. But I sat as usual, made my chai. If I have another 1 hour to go, 1.5 hours to go before my meeting. So I sat there and suddenly the thought popped into my head. What is that? Give thanks in everything. Remembrancer. And I said, okay, Lord, thank you, Father. After all, it is your money, not my money. If it is lost, it's your loss, not my loss. I thank you anyway for through it all. And I went for my meeting and came back. When I came back in the meeting in the night, I came back at 9:30, 10 in the night. Suddenly, there is a knock at my door. And I opened the door. The local landlady, her daughter, all are standing outside. And I said in the language, what happened? And they said, sir, can we come in? And I said, come in. And they got their little boy holding him by the collar. Sir, this boy got in through your bathroom window and stole your money. He already went to the market and spent half of it. The other half we found under his mattress. We are returning it, and the rest, sir, we will return it every month back. Was, is this yoke easy? I'm just giving you one small little thing. But there is a life of faith, how you are supposed to look. Okay. So when God says to give thanks in everything, it doesn't make sense in this life, but it does make sense in the other realm, because he is in charge, he is in control. Okay. Now please remember, the people who came over there are not believers. They are not Christians. So what makes the yoke easy is faith. You need to trust God. I look into this, it doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to do it anyway because I trust the one who said it. By faith we understand. That's what the Bible says. So when you read this, you have to read, this is my father speaking to his son, daughter. This is my king talking to his subject. His word is truth. I will just do it. And suddenly you will realize the yoke is easy. The more you learn to love him, the more you understand he loves you, you will realize the burden is light. Burden is light. The burden becomes very light. You have to practice love by faith. Go read 1 Corinthians 13 today. From verse 4 onwards. Not the Milson Boone and Barbara Cartland and all the junk movies you grew up on. Not that. The original truth about what love is. Meditate upon it. Speak day and night. Suddenly you realize you know what the burden is like. The burden is light. 1 John 5 verses 1 to 3. This is what scripture says. Whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. Now what is talking about? Anyone who loves God and is begotten of him also loves his other children. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Gianna is not well. She's been coughing. She's wheezing. And Anisha and Praneet. Now Anisha is at home. We'll sit through the night. What makes the burden easy? It's simply love. What makes it so easy? You know, the burden is a burden because we do not love. That's when it becomes a burden. It is not the weight of the burden. It's the lack of love. And Jesus comes to us and says, come to me. First get rid of that weight of sin and the burden of religion. Put it all and come to me. Enter into a relationship. That is over. That burden is gone. You have rest. I have saved you by my grace. You cannot work for it. It is free. Take it. Then he says, come, let us learn to live together, walk together, by faith, in love. He says, take my yoke upon yourself. You have to take it. Faith, trust in God is what makes the yoke easy. And Jesus showed us the way. The Son trusted the Father. So the yoke was easy. Father, I have come to do your will. Father, I always want to please you. Father, therefore, I know you always hear me. And the Father from heaven says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Son loved the Father. The Father loved the Son. The Son had faith in the Father, and the Father had faith in the Son. And God says, this is what I live before you. This is how I want you to live out your life starting tonight. Don't keep it till tomorrow. Lord, I want to trust you. I want to love you. Suddenly you will realize life is not as difficult as it thinks. His yoke is actually easy. And the burden is actually light. So this coming year, in another half an hour, 20, 35 minutes, we'll enter into a new year. Make a very firm commitment to take his yoke, to trust him, and to love him. Why? Because the kingdom is at hand. It is much closer than you and I all think. It's very, very close. So going back to Matthew 11 and verse 29, Jesus says, okay, 11:29, he says, learn of me. Take my yoke upon yourself and learn from me. Okay. You cannot learn of him unless you take the yoke. Okay. That's why these online classes don't work. You know, we had all these pictures parents used to send with the child lying in this angle with the headphones. You know, online classes are going on, all kinds of things. Because it is not the class, the teaching comes first. It's the discipline that comes first. That is the yoke. Just first take my yoke and learn of me. What is the first thing that you learn of him? And why can you learn from him? It's easy, because he is meek and lowly. Doesn't matter how many times you hear this and how many times you have prayer requests. Please remember, almost everybody's problems fall under three categories. One is ignorance, the big one. Kingdom of God is called darkness. Ignorance destroys. It destroys. And even after getting into the kingdom, we don't learn. We still will be destroyed, not our salvation, but from the rest of the things. Two, weakness. And the third, the dangerous one, is pride. The dangerous one, the most dangerous one, is pride, not ignorance. Not weakness, is pride. You can be ignorant and be proud. You can be weak and be proud. So Jesus says, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. Why? Because pride kills. Pride kills. In Proverbs 17 verse 19, this is what scripture says. Pride goes before what? Destruction. It goes before destruction. In 16:18 it says pride goes before destruction. 17:19 it says, he who loves transgression loves strife. He who exalts his gate seeks destruction. 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. And in the small letter called Obadiah, the prophets, in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 4. Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. So we have to guard our heart. 2024, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Be very careful. If there is one thing that destroys completely, it's pride. Be very careful. Once upon a time in eternity past, we do not know when, but eternity past, there was a cherub, an anointed cherub. His history is mentioned by two prophets, one Isaiah and another Ezekiel. Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28 talks about this cherub. Isaiah 14:12 says, you were the anointed cherub. Ezekiel 28:14 says, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. He was the cherub that covers. You know, when the When the tabernacle was to be built and later there were two cherubs that covered. Cherubs are not covering God from us. It's covering us from God. The holiness of God. So this guy was a covering cherub. He was not an ordinary cherub. He was a covering cherub. He was an anointed covering cherub. And Isaiah 14:12 says, your name is Lucifer, which means light bearer. Light bearer. Isaiah 14:13 says, you have said in your heart. So where does pride begin? Understand the origin of pride and you will understand where it begins. It begins in our heart. It begins in our heart. It comes with a small suggestion. You are better than the other one. But pastor didn't notice you. Boss didn't promote you. Begins in the heart. In church, in home, in workplace, everywhere. It comes as a suggestion. Ezekiel 28:15 talks about us. You were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created. So he's not a creator, he's created. Until iniquity was found in you. That's the first beginning of all sin. What was it? It was pride. Which led to all the others. Verse 18 says, along with that came all the others. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities. Pride is the mother. With it comes all the others. So God's saying, if you want to deal with all the other sins, deal with the mother. What is the mother? Pride. How do you deal with it? Kill it and be meek and lowly like me. If you choose to become meek and lowly, then it is easier to handle all the others because when you are corrected, you will take correction. And you will take correction from anybody. Because we all need correction. And the Bible says, you defiled your sanctuary. You know what a sanctuary is? Right now, this is a sanctuary, meaning set apart place. So he was in charge of a sanctuary, set apart once. And he took one third of them with him. They were set apart angels. All because of pride. Pride is a killer. Pride is a killer. He didn't lose his wisdom. The Bible says he corrupted his wisdom. Why is this important? Because there is one thing that is written there. Now read verse 18 carefully. But the iniquity of your trading, therefore I brought fire from your midst, it devoured you. You know what God did? He didn't send fire from above. It was a fire from within. Pride will kill you from within. God doesn't have to do anything. It will destroy you from within. Therefore be careful. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And in due season, he will exalt you. Learn from me. Because if you want rest, you want rest. You have to take his yoke. You have to learn of him. He's meek and lowly. Above all, learn to be meek and lowly. Choose things practical. And you look at Jesus' life, that's what he did. Practical. I mean, he is the only one who could choose his birth and his parents and the place. Everything he could choose. We can't. He could. He picked two very simple, poor couple. Picked a small little village called Bethlehem. Picked a stable. Picked a manger. Created a situation, the only situation possible which would put a stain on his name all the days who his father was. Then went to a despised city called Nazareth and lived there. Before that fled into Egypt to save his life. Everything he chose. Why? Saying, I humbled myself and I will wait for my father to lift me up. All the way to the cross. The father lifted. Therefore, Paul will say, God has lifted me up. It's good to sit in the front on church on a Sunday, but when you are invited for a wedding, don't go sit in the front. And if you sit at the back in the church, that means you are proud. Without a reason. You will not listen. So sitting at front at a wedding and sitting at the back of the church are the same. Unless you have babies to take care of. Because it's not I who call, come. It's he who calls, come. So think of these things in 2024. Because it's a killer. And learn of me, he says. Learn of me. We have to learn from Jesus. That's why I said we have so many teachers in the Bible, but the one is Jesus. We have to learn. Above all, I don't know about you, I have to learn to pray like him. Men ought to always pray and never lose heart. Pray without ceasing. Pray without anger. Pray like him, your name, your kingdom, your will, and not mine. Pray for open heavens, because when he prayed, the heavens opened. Pray for more anointing, because when he prayed, the Spirit came. Pray for God to speak, because when he prayed, God spoke. Pray for transformation, because it is written, when he prayed, his countenance changed. Learn from Jesus. 2024, Lord, help me, teach me to pray like you. A little like you. A little like you. I want to learn, Lord. I want to learn to pray like you. Because you said, learn of me. Learn of me. The first thing the disciples said is, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Learn from Jesus to find the will of God. Hebrews 10:7 says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I have come, Lord, to do your will, Lord. Same book, Lord. Lord, help me to learn your will. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. It's the same book. You gave your son the same book. You gave me the same book. You gave me more. You gave him 39 books. You gave me more. And he discovered your will for him from this book. It's not that he was born. No, he learned. He learned. Morning by morning you awakened me. He learned the will of God through this. He learned. Lord, help me to learn your will for my life from that same book. Lord, help me to learn from your son how to live by faith. Because when I look through Jesus' life, every situation in his life, he simply handled it by faith. By faith. Learn from Jesus how to love till the end. Whom he loved, till the end. Learn from Jesus how to forgive all. Father, I forgive them. For they do not know what they are doing. Learn from Jesus how to honor and discharge your earthly responsibilities. Mother, here is your son. Son, this is your mother. I remember in those days when we were civil chaplains in the army, no? All the jawans are there, we go there. And those jawans are all, mostly the believers are all Tamilians, and they will say, Andavare, Andavare, Andavare. And there was this question we would always ask him, or the other pastor would ask in Tamil. I would understand what you are saying. You would ask them, it's the first week, did you send the check home? Are you married? Yes. Did you send the check to your wife? Are you married? No. Did you send the check to your parents? Don't forget your responsibility. Responsibilities. Learn from Jesus. Even on the cross. Mom, that's your son. Son, that's your mom. The Bible says he took her home from that day. Learn from Jesus how to face lack and yet have an abundance. How to still storms. How to walk over the storms. Learn. Learn from Jesus how to witness to impossible people in impossible situations and still give them the guarantee of salvation. You will be with me in paradise tonight. Learn. Learn. From Jesus, I learned to pray for people in the ICU in a coma. Because I believed they could hear. And two times it happened. In the coma, they nodded. When I said, believe in Jesus. And hours later, they were gone. Learn from Jesus, because he's meek and lowly. Take his yoke upon yourself. Discipline yourself in 2024. Spiritual disciplines I'm talking about. If you don't have a shift, which is night working, day sleeping, if you have a normal kind of a shift, change your shift, your discipline. And those of you who have this Iralagur night shift, if you put the kingdom of God first, ask God, he will change your shift. He won't change your shift for you, he will change it for the kingdom. Change it for the kingdom. Lord, I want a regular shift so that I can wake up early in the morning just like you. And I want to praise you. I want to hear from you. And I want to start my day with you. Every day, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, help me. Don't try to do it in your flesh, but he will help you. Learn. And suddenly you will realize, though you may have, and I do believe, we have more problems in 2024 in the world, you realize you're handling it better than 2023. The reason is there is something inside which is called rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. This enormous power of rest, enormous power of grace. You need to understand the power of grace. The thing is that many of you in your own workplaces is still depending upon your skills and your understanding. Because it's like a professor who came to an university, a new professor came to an university, and he was teaching math like Pastor Vijay, and he asked his question, how many of you think Jesus understands calculus? And they all laughed. He said calculus came from his brains. And you are breaking your head over new systems that are coming, which you do not realize is this for Jesus. You still don't lean on him. You haven't learned to lean on him. I know experience, because this was a man who never spoke in public, who stuttered, who didn't have language. But today, if I'm able to speak before people, it's because during those days, I learned the art of trusting God. In your workplace, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. He can. And then I found in life, simple believing sisters. I hear them call. Pastor, yes, no, I'm going to cook. Yes, what happened? I've never made this before and I'm making it. So what do you want? I want God's grace. Would you pray for me? I realized, hey, it's interesting. You have mothers who ask for grace in the kitchen. You have pastors who ask for grace in the pulpit. You have teachers who ask for prayer in the classroom. Everybody is understanding the power of grace. It's free. And children, I tell you, why don't you ask God, help me? You need discipline. You need to work hard. But grace. But grace. Above all, learn from Jesus to trust God in your darkest, darkest moment. No one will go through what he went through when the Father turned his face away from him. And yet he said, Father, I commit my spirit into thy hands. See, we all love traveling. I mean, we don't worry about cars, trains, but flight is a different thing. If I'm traveling with my wife, she will grab my hand. I say, blood flow has stopped for 5 minutes. Okay. And when I fly, I'll always say, when it's takeoff and landing time, I'll say, I commit my soul into the hands. If this flight doesn't leave, it's in your hands. Safe. Because your entire life in the hands of two people who are sitting in the front. And after you have heard a session with our three heroes, Srikanth, Albert and Moses, we understand the condition of planes. But here is he hanging on the cross and the Father has turned and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he says, my Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Learn from Jesus. 2024, let it be a learning sessions. Learn about the King. Learn about the kingdom. Learn how to walk with him. Learn. I'll have the worship team come back. We'll have communion. And we'll go back to the word. Come, let's have the elders.
Jesus, praise the Lord.
church anniversary, we closed the service when Rishi sang this song. Still remember. Father, this night, one final time this year, we come to you. We want to thank you, Lord. For us, it is easy to hold this bread and this cup. But for you, it was your body and your blood. We just thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. And I pray everyone tonight has made peace with you. Peace with you. That we enter this new year in peace, with confidence, with boldness, at rest. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for coming for us. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's only 20 minutes into the service. 21 minutes. So we are in the new year. Before we go into the second portion of the word, I would ask Pastor Vijay, Justin, my wife to come. We'll pray for this new year. Come up. It's not Revelation 4:1, come up hither, but come up hither. Our spiritual ears should be tuned to Revelation 4:1. In your spirit, you should be able to hear one day, come up hither and gone. We need a microphone for that one. We'll pray for this new year. Come, come. Stand together. Let's pray.
Hallelujah. 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 You brought us through 2023. You brought us through. Lord, what would we do without you? Oh, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We will be still and know that you are God in 2024. Yes. Oh, Father, you said be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with supplication and prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall be with you in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
We touch and agree today as a church.
Yes.
Because you said where two or three are gathered in your name, it shall be established. So we come together in unity, in harmony, and in love. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity, in harmony, and in love. And Lord, after hearing the first half of the word in 2023, we choose to carry it over into 2024. Yes, we choose to be still.
Yes, Lord.
We choose to rest in
you. Amen.
We choose to cast our burdens upon Jesus. We choose to believe that you have healed our sickness. You have healed our disease. We choose to believe that without you we are nothing. Ain't nothing good in us. Ain't nothing good in us. Ain't nothing good in us, Father, but you. The God that we serve, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you today. We thank you. We thank you. Truly, truly you choose to forget our sins. Truly, truly, my God. Man will bring it. The enemy will bring it. Whatever you want to call it, he will bring it. But my God, you choose to forget. And we thank you today, Father, that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive, to cleanse, to purge. So we come back to the cross today and we say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the cross. Thank you for cleansing. Thank you for healing. Thank you for delivering.
Thank
you for setting us free. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, Thank you for every child that was born in 2023. Thank you. Thank you for marriages in 2023. Thank you, Lord. We look forward to 2024. Yes, we do. We do. Yes, we look forward, oh Father, to walk the walk. Oh, to talk the talk.
Yes.
Empower us today. Right now, we ask as a church to empower us. Equip us. Equip us, Father. Prepare us, Father. You said, do not consider the former things.
Yes.
Behold, I have a new beginning.
Amen. Amen.
I will make roads in the wilderness.
Yes.
I will make rivers in the desert. We believe that. We believe, my God. It may be a tough year, but Lord, we will be still and know that you are God.
Yes.
We will be still. You're the God on the mountains. You're the God in the valleys.
Yes.
You're the God of the storms. They came and they went. Raging storms, Father. But you were there.
Yes.
You were there.
Yes.
You were there. You were there. You were there with all the storms we faced. You were there. You were there. You never left us. You never left us for a second. But my God, we say thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you. Thank you for your pastor. Thank you for Pastor James. Thank you for Pastor Vijay. Thank you for Pastor Eric.
Yes.
Thank you for Pastor Ruben.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for all our pastors. Thank you, thank you, thank you for Pastor Naveen. Thank you for Pastor Ramesh.
Yes.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are good, you are good, you are good. And your mercies endure forever and ever and ever. From everlasting to everlasting. You are God alone. You sit on the throne. Heaven is your throne. Earth is your footstool.
Yes.
And we thank you. Some prayer requests were answered in 2023. Some are still not answered. Delayed, but not denied.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
We believe.
Thank you, Lord.
We believe you're still in control.
Yes, Lord.
We sang this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Even when you don't see it, you're working.
Yes, Lord.
Even when we don't feel it, you're
yes,
working.
Yes,
you never stop working.
Amen.
You never stop working. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are.
Yes,
that is who you are.
Yes,
I believe today you are way maker. You are miracle worker. You are promise keeper. You are light in the darkness. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart today, Father. I believe I've seen God's hand move in all our lives. We can testify in GTC and talk about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done and how he brought us through every storm, every weather. He taught us how to weather the storm. Oh Father, you taught us how. You taught us how because you are captain of the storm. And we thank you. Thank you. Each year you're teaching us to depend on you, to have faith in you, to believe that you are God alone. You are God alone. Lord, you are Lord of Lords. You are King of Kings. You are, his name is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful Savior. Marvelous, marvelous Savior. You have been so good, so good, so good. How can we not thank you today? How could we not thank you, Father? Wonderful Counselor. Prince of Peace, the great I am, the God in control, the sovereign God, the God who sits high and looks below. And Father, you had GDC on your mind.
Amen.
What a privilege.
Yes, Lord.
What an honor to know you had us on your mind. Yes, Lord. Oh, Father, you said humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord and I will exalt you. Oh, Father, I pray if we struggle with pride today, we want to start 2024.
Yes, Lord.
With a humble attitude.
Amen.
An attitude of gratitude. We want to humble ourselves. The spirit of humility. The gift of humility. In the deepest, darkest moments of our life, we can say, you brought us through. You brought us through. When we didn't have a song at night, you gave us a song in our heart. When we didn't know what to say, you were there. You were there. You were there. You were there. You said, cast your burdens upon Jesus, for I care for you. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy, and I will give you rest. Place my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks. We thank you. Plead the blood of Jesus over this pulpit. Plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, Father, over our pastors here, Father. Pastor James and Pastor Vijay. Plead the blood over them. And we thank you, Lord. 2024, we're looking forward to hear again. Hear the promise from you. The promise you gave us as a church. The promise, the personal promise you will give us today. We're looking forward. Plead the blood over every brother, sister. We thank you for every one of us. Every one of them. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the worship team. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. You can see. It's the year of rest. But you will understand what it means when you hear the second half. For the second half, we turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. And we'll continue. Now listen carefully. Yeah, can you turn that screen? Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Hebrews chapter 4 is the greatest rest chapter in the entire Bible. The first 11 verses, the word rest is used 9 times. Do you know why heaven is so appealing? At least to believers. Not all believers, some believers. Because it's a place where all struggles cease. All negatives are erased. And the book of Revelation puts it this way. Revelation 21, 3 to 5. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. No more, no more, no more, no more. We'll be with the Father forevermore. And forever we will enter into the blessedness of his rest. That's why heaven is appealing. Yet the Bible talks about rest. In Hebrews 4:1, the Bible says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. It's possible to be saved and come short of it, and most of us are short of it. Okay. So there's a thing which God promises, and Jesus we saw in the morning half, the first half we saw. Jesus calling us, inviting us, and what he promises is rest. The theme of rest we first see in creation. In Genesis chapter 2 verses 1 to 3, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And verse 3 says, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So you will see God set apart a day. And he calls Shabbat, which means rest. God did not rest because he was tired, because he never gets tired. But because the work of creation was done. That's why he rested. And he set that day apart. Later, thousands of years later, in Israel's history, you will see again this being repeated, especially in the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, verses 9 to 11. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He brings back the same thing to a nation. Okay? Now, if you're telling the nation, you look at the context, then only will understand. These are a people who were slaves for hundreds of years. They worked 7 days a week, 30 days a month. All the days of their life till they died. One thing they never knew in Egypt was the word called rest. Remember when Pharaoh, when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. The Pharaoh's response, why are you keeping the people from work? They are lazy. Give them more work. Take the straw away and tell them to make bricks. And collect the straw to make bricks. He says, increase the work, Lord. Work, work, work till you die. That's why the fourth commandment is so special. Yahweh from the other gods. Take a day off. During festivals, take days off. And every seventh year, take the year off. Sabbath. We have the weekends off. And you need to understand the history behind weekends. The history behind weekends is primarily an American construction because they had to make peace with the Jews and the Christians. The Jews said we want Saturday off. The Christians said the Sunday. So the system agreed Saturday, Sunday off. And both is of the same God. That's how you enjoy your weekends. And every Gentile who enjoys the weekend doesn't know it's the God of the Bible who gave you your weekend. Okay. That's why it's a special thing. For so many, sitting here probably, to take a day off sounds like sin. Because you're workaholics. That means you don't serve Yahweh, you serve Pharaoh. Even as work is important and is good, 6 days God worked, and at the end of every day except one day, he said, it is good. The seventh day, he said, it's holy. Your work is good. But the rest is holy. As you get into 2024, get that in. Be kingdom people. Work is good. Work is there before the fall, after the fall, and in eternity. But in eternity, what we are entering into is God's rest. And rest is holy. It is holy. And Jesus gives an awesome answer when they asked his disciples, why are your disciples working or doing this on Sabbath? In Mark 2, 27, 28, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of Sabbath. Okay. Rest was made for man. Man was not made for rest. Rest was made for man. So we are entrusted to work. And we will work in eternity. But if we don't understand rest, we will work ourselves to death. There are works of faith, but first there is rest in faith. So Hebrews 4, 1 to 3 gives us the warnings. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. What is the gospel? It's the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom was preached to Israel. When he brought them out of Israel, brought them into the wilderness, he said, you shall be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And he was supposed to be their king. Israel was to be his kingdom. And they were all supposed to be priests, meaning people who serve God in different functions. That was the gospel that was preached to them. And because he was the king, their provision was his responsibility. So he said, you can take days off. A year off. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. He was bringing into humanity a concept that is from heaven. And Israel was to be his paradigm. But, the Bible says, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Because they did not mix it with faith. Those who heard did not mix it with faith. And there they went down. Verse 3. For we who have believed, everything is dependent upon do you believe God? We who have believed do enter that rest as he had said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Do you understand that? God has got nothing to do. He's already done it all. Before the foundation of the world was laid, all that our end has already been done by God. That's why we can rest. We are moving into a future where God is already there. He's seen it all, ordained it all. So he says, be at rest. Be at rest. God doesn't see us sitting here. He sees us sitting there. He sees eternity. That's why we can rest. That's why the first rest of salvation. And the second rest of walking with him. Receiving his rest. And he's talking about the works of Israel was already finished, but they didn't see. It was already done. So why didn't they enter into those rest? Because verse 6 says, because of unbelief. Since therefore it remained that some must enter it. And those to whom it first preached did not enter because of unbelief leads to disobedience. Disobedience leads to rebellion. Okay, please understand. Unbelief ultimately leads to disobedience. You have to believe. That's why God says you have to labor to enter into his rest. Take my yoke. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I will give you rest. There has to be an effort. Verse 11 uses that term. KJV will use the word labor. Here it will say, let us be diligent. Other verses will use strive. But usually that is connected with work. But God says, no. It is connected in my kingdom with rest. Because in this realm you will struggle and struggle and struggle and work. But you actually have to struggle to enter into my rest. That is why I said in the morning, your priorities have to change this year. We are already in 2024. If we get the priorities right every morning, we will realize we actually have rest. We don't have to see the results. The results are in his hands. If you see Jesus, the only point in his entire life he moved from his rest was in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed a prayer, would you take this cup away? And he said, but not my will, but your will. There was a split between his human will and the Father. That is the only time he moved from rest and reverted back. But his entire life was a paradigm before us. How to walk in rest. In rest. And God is calling us. God is calling us. Labor. We have to labor to rest in the assurance of our salvation. Because salvation is a gift. Because we come from the religious system. Then we go into the world and we work and work and work. And then we come back and see how can this be free. And God says it is free. He says, it's free. You really mean to say I don't have to do anything to receive the salvation? He said, no, nothing. Just believe what my son has done. And it remains difficult for us to believe. So the first day we don't wake up in the morning and pray, we think I lost my salvation. I didn't read my Bible for 2 days. I lost my salvation. Because somewhere over there, it is connected with work. But salvation is not connected with work. Because no man shall boast, God says it is a gift. So the only question is not whether you worked, whether you believed. So the labor is to believe. Lord, I really, really believe that I am saved, that I am saved by believing by what your son has done. I have repented and I have put my trust in you. I believe. Enter into the rest this year. Assurance of salvation. I will never, never doubt my salvation. Me in Christ, that is the assurance of my salvation. Christ in me is not an assurance, that is the hope of my glory. Verse 10 says, we have to cease. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. You see that? One of the easiest things, one of the most difficult things to be behind a pulpit is to hear from God. Easiest thing is not to worry about the results. The results are not in your hands. But not when I was teaching. When you are a lecturer, you not only do you have to come prepared, the results are also in your hands. At the end of the year, if the results are bad, they will say, what happened? But this is the only profession where the results is not your concern. This, it's me. That's where the rest. Because we are still, our minds are still, I'm telling you, the transition will take time. Transition will take time. It's because we are not understanding how God created. God created man to work. But when God created man to work, the provision was already there. Man was not working to make his money or his provision. Man was working because that's who God is. In the fallen world, we turned it around. We work because our provision comes from that. So God will show through his paradigms of people who did not work and still ate. Because they were obeying God. Obeying God. I'm not saying that man should not work. Man should work. If man should not work, he should not eat. Okay? Because if you don't work, you're going against another paradigm. What is that? 6 days he worked. And now 7 days you're resting. That is not the paradigm. But don't look at us work as the source of your provision, but God as the source of your provision. Okay, like all the little children sitting over here, everyone ate nicely today. Yet they did not work for their food or their provision. They don't. Their parents provide for them. Yet they work. Some of them work harder than you. Get it right. Because this is spiritual. The rest we enter into is spiritual. Because if you don't enter into the rest, the problem is when God calls you to your God-given purpose, you will hesitate. Because all fear is connected with provision. Connected with provision. You will be unwilling to let go because you got rooted to your provision in this and God is calling you here and he says, if I go here, how will I live? So get this very clear in your head. I work because God called me to work. That's the reason I work. But I eat because God is my father. So once you enter into his rest, as he himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. We have to learn to cease from our works and learn to do his works. Ephesians 2:10 talks about it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. When was this good works? Which God prepared beforehand, we should walk in them. Now let me ask you this question. Do you have the assurance you're walking in them? That you are doing what God had prepared for you to do before the foundation of this world. I have it now, not before. 30 years ago, I did not have that assurance. But after I have the assurance, I'm doing exactly what God had prepared for me to do I don't know how well I'm fitted in, how excellent I am, I do not know. But I know I am doing what God called me to do. And in the same story is there for all of you. God has prepared something beforehand for us. But you will not discover it until you enter into his rest. Enter into his rest. So it is not only important that this is the year of God's rest, we learn to enter into his rest so that we will also start discovering what God wanted us to do. Because it's important in eternity. It may not be important here. It's very important in eternity because when your rewards are counted, you are counted according to your works. And people will stand before God and say, I did this, but God said, I never asked you to do this. But what am I supposed to do? He says, you never asked me. You never asked me. So remember, his work is his will for us, a part of his will for us. And we know it very well, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Powerful it is, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect will of God. But the problem is this. We will never know the will of God, nor receive the strength to do it, the grace to do it, until we surrender. People slip over the first verse, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. If you don't surrender, you will never know the will of God in your life. That's how a kingdom works. You'll never know. When you read the Bible, one of the things you find in the Bible is that you will never see the specific will of God for you mentioned there. What you see is the general will of God for everyone. And you will see people in that who discovered God's will for them. The whole Bible is the general will of God, the good will of God. But in that you will see people discovering God's will for them. And how do you discover it all? The general will of God is Hebrews 4, 12. 11 is labor. 12 says this. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's like the surgeon's scalpel. If you allow it, it will do its job. It will cut you open and it will expose you. It will heal you. But if you allow the word to do its work, you will find rest for your souls. You know what pride does? Pride exalts your ideas, your opinions, your thoughts above the word of God. The word of God says, I have magnified my word above all my name. So the battle is first here. To labor into his rest. What did God say? What did God say? What did God say? This is where the battle takes place. So when God says you must labor to enter into rest, where is the battle? The battle is with the word. Battle is with the word. When God says, but if you allow the word to be sovereign, you will find rest for your souls. We too will be able to say like Jesus, for this reason I came. For this reason I was saved. And at the end of a life, you will be able to say, I finished. Now I'm waiting for my rewards. Okay. If we are not able to finish with that, we are saved, but life was meaningless. Not entering into his life, or entering his rest, means what we say in the old covenant. It's called desert living. Wandering, aimless, purposeless living, well fed, well taken care of. Nobody ever defeated them. They had food every day, clothing every day, footwear every day, light every day, covering every day, but they did nothing with their lives eternally. It was just an aimless life. And the fact of the matter is most Christians in Christendom live that lives. If you take a Christian, if you take a Hindu, if you take a Muslim, let me ask you, how is your life different? You go to office, they go to office. You work 8 hours, 12 hours, they also work 8 hours, 12 hours. You want a house, they also want a house. You buy a house, they buy a house. You want a car, they want a car. You also buy. You also have children, they also children. Their children go to school, your children go to school. You worry about their education, they worry about their education. Which way is your life different? The only difference is you are saved, they are not. You know what it is? Aimless living. Aimless living. But if we have to discover purpose, this is the first step. You cannot find the works until you have entered into his rest. So 2024, I'm praying that many of you discover your purpose. Discover your purpose. You discover this is what? Like Jesse Owens, remember? The one Hitler was upset, the guy who ran, broke the record 100 meter dash, was a believer. When he was asked that question, he said, God created me to run. He says, when I run, I give God pleasure. He said, I found my purpose. So we will forget the names of all the runners, but Jesse Owens stands there. Because he said, this is my purpose. I realize this is why I am. This is my purpose. You know, you ask any 100 meter dash, they will all go back to the inspire. Who inspired them? They will say Jesse Owens. Okay. So it's not what you do. Because people think purpose, only pastors have purpose. No, that's not what he told Israel. He says, the whole lot of you shall be a kingdom of priests. I will define your purpose. Okay. And Hannah's purpose was to birth Samuel. And she did an awesome job with that young boy. That was her purpose. And that boy defined Israel's history. She discovered her purpose. Okay. Deborah's purpose was to rise up as a mother when Israel were headless. And rally the troops around Barak and bring victory. She discovered her purpose in her generation. It was when my wife, mother was 85 years old, retired and living with me. When my friend came from Kerala, I was in the other room. I heard her telling my friend from college. She said, you know what? In the 1960s, I thought his father was a crazy man to go to that godforsaken country in those 60s. We went there. We lived there. We worked hard 30 years. We sent all our children to college and they're all doing well. But I realized I was born to give him birth. I was born to give the youngest one birth because I see God's purpose in his life and therefore I see my purpose is connected with him. She discovered at 85, okay, that's the reason. That's the reason. One kid. And you go to that country, you do any church, they know me. But they wouldn't know me if she hadn't gone. She hadn't gone. That's what God is talking about. Everybody has to discover. What's the purpose? What's my purpose? Once you know purpose, your life becomes very defined. Then you try to be the best in that purpose. And it doesn't matter what age you discover it. Only thing you discover it. You just discover it. Because otherwise it is just well-fed desert living. They ate well. There were none sick among them. They didn't have to wear masks. Nobody sick. Nobody feeble. All lived long. 40 years everybody lived after entering. What a kind of a retired life it was. 40 years. Can you imagine? Just eating and walking, resting, doing nothing. I know many of you would give your right hand for a life like that. Just sleep, eat, walk, sleep, eat, walk. What did they do? Nothing. Purposeless. You know why? It's about them God is talking. They did not enter into God's rest. We have to learn to enter into his rest about everything, about our salvation. to take up his yoke, learn of him, and enter into his rest during our life here. Rest to rest to rest. When the end of life comes about death, John 11, one of my favorite verses, 25, 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe in this? That's your rest. Do you believe in this? Enter the ICU. Suddenly you will know what you believe. That is what COVID did. Didn't matter young or old, everybody reached the ICU. Then suddenly doctrine is important. What do you believe? Do you believe? This is the rest that comes. But you are not afraid of death because you know you cannot die. You cannot die. But these are the things of life that really, really matter. You go out over there, ask anybody about death, nobody has any hope. The question is, do you have? In John 14 verses 1 to 3, this is what it says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. Have you noticed in the old covenant, God says, I will take you into the promised land. You will have houses which you did not build. In the new covenant, he never talks about houses. He says, if you have clothes on your back and food on your table, you should be content and happy. Why doesn't he talk about houses? Because he's making a house for everyone. House is a place of security. It's a place where you go home. It's a place where you rest. So he says, you don't have to worry about eternity. Everyone will have a house. This is in scripture. That's why they said you have to live in the kingdom. This is real. Because most of us sitting over here last week I was in that young man's house. I went. Our young man, Lawrence, said, oh, look at Lawrence. I said, hey man, you are a blessed man. You are young. You got a house of your own. And look in the house. You got everything in your house. You got a fridge. You got a TV. You got gas. You got a 2-bedroom apartment and you are alone. And you got a good job where you eat 2 meals free. All you need is a wife. I said, do you know, Lawrence, that most of the people sitting in the church don't have a house of their own? At least in the city to live in. So house is a luxury. And that is God saying. The question is, what did we do to get that house? Answer? Nothing. That's the rest. That's the rest. Here we think about working in the government, take a loan, then pay the EMI 30 years, 20 years to get a house. God says, I'm giving you free and you're not even excited. And this is real, forever and ever. No painting after 3 years. No termite treatment. And this is true. Did you see the rest to which God is trying to? So why is he saying all that? So he said so that you can discover your purpose and live your life through in rest and then come over and get your rewards and reign with me. Think kingdom. Don't think the world. Don't think the world. He says you will have trouble in this world. John 16:33 said you will have trouble. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace, which is rest. In the world you will have tribulation, but we have good cheer. I have overcome the world. Everywhere he's talking to us about how to live in rest in this troublesome world. Why I'm telling you is 2024 is going to be more difficult than 2023. Do you know in 2024, 60% of the world population is going into election mode. Election means trouble. India is going to election. US is going to election. Taiwan is going to election. All of the European Union is going to election. That is the free world. The rest is not free. 60%. And for power, do you know what man will do? God says, you don't worry about any of those things. I give you rest. Because the kingdom rules over the kingdoms of men. Amen. The kingdom of God rules over the kingdoms of men. Okay. Because this is what we are thinking about. We are thinking about work, we are thinking about homes, we are thinking about salaries. In Ukraine, nobody is thinking about any of those things. They are trying to how to survive the bombing. In Israel, children are not worrying about studies or going to school. In Gaza, they are wondering where they will survive today. They are all humans. But in all these places, there is one person who can give you rest. That's Jesus alone. In good times and bad times. And God is inviting us. He says, come, enter into my rest. Learn how to enter into my rest in the midst of trouble. In Exodus 33, this great man called Moses, he says, therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I might know. He says, I just want to know your way. This is the most important thing about life, to understand the ways of a person. Okay, that's what happens with the husband and wife. All the trouble in the beginning is because they don't understand each other's ways. Then over time they understand, and the problem is liking their ways. And if you learn to forgive and forget, you will learn to know each other, their ways, and learn to become one. And Moses says, I want to know your ways. God says, you cannot know my way in one day. It will take a long walk. But I will tell you, because you ask this, I'll go with you. We'll walk together. And I will promise you, I will give you rest. And this is the only man in 600,000 who experienced God's rest those 40 years. One man alone experienced God's rest. So God says, you know what? Even in those, some could enter into my rest. Then you come to Matthew 1 and verse 23. You have this promise. You shall name him what? Emmanuel. What is his name? God with us. And Jesus would explain to his disciples what this exactly means. In John 14, 16 to 18, he says, I pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and in you. He's the one who brings rest. That's why you are always one. Don't grieve him. Don't upset him. Don't lie to him. Don't test him. Because he is upset, you lose your rest. There's only one person who can give you rest. That's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. In us and with us. So God is inviting us to a person. Person. And he's the Spirit of truth. He will tell the truth about us. Believe it. It is true. If he says you're a crook, you're a crook. And he's not telling that to condemn you. He's saying you're a crook, now change. I'll straighten you out. Okay. He will tell straight away, he will tell you everything. If you ask him, he will tell you. Sometimes if he don't ask you, he'll still tell you. But understand, the Son of Man did not come to condemn, he came to save. Okay. The most important thing you have to listen from him is that if he says you are self-righteous, be warned. A dangerous place to be. Okay. That's why it's good to talk to him and ask him. When you're reading the Bible, ask him to speak to you. And he will tell you. Sometimes he'll tell you, you know what, you are self-righteous. It's a very dangerous place, because there is only one righteousness that is acceptable, that comes by faith and faith alone. If he says you are a sinner, it is better than to be called self-righteous. Because the sinner receives mercy, the self-righteous receives judgment. So listen to him. Listen to him. Okay. Because this is what work does. That's why God says it's difficult for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God, is because our entire mind is connected with work. The better you work, the better you become, the smarter you become, the more educated you become, the richer you become, you think you are good. And God says you're still bad. Actually, you're bad and you don't know it. It's more difficult to save you than the fellow who is outside, who is poor. So be careful. Careful. Very careful. 2024, be careful. Labor, labor to enter into his rest. Okay. Then we come to this awesome picture of that in the old covenant, which is the fourth one you have. Joshua chapter 21. Okay, Joshua 21. So, the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. Not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now remember, this is old covenant, so don't take it literally. We need to understand how do we apply it. First thing you need to realize in Joshua chapter 11 and verse 18. What does it say? Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. So it was not overnight. He fought for a long time. Labor to enter into that rest. Okay, so you will say, oh pastor, I want to enter into that rest. It's a long war. It's a long war. Don't give up. Because God is for you and with you in this war. But it is a long war. In this long war, in 12:8, what did Joshua do? He defeated those six nations. Remember, God said there are six nations. Six nations he defeated. In 12:34, it is written, you know what he did? 31 kings he defeated. It's a long war. All those six nations and 31 kings. And then God gave them rest. Who fought? Who gave them rest? Who fights? Who gives rest? When you wake up in the morning, the battle begins. First battle is to wake up. So you have to discipline yourself to waking up over a period of time. And like I said, don't try to do it on yourself. Today is already morning, but tomorrow, if you want to try it out, to fix a time which is reasonable, which you can continue according to your schedule, your life, whatever it is, a reasonable. Each one's life is different. So if you say 4 in the morning is too difficult for me because I go to sleep late because of my work, let us say 5. Let's take a number 5, okay? Ask God to wake you up. And see how we'll work better than your alarm. Ask God to wake you up. And you will realize your eyes will open at 5. And before you ask him to wake you up, tell Lord, after I wake you, you wake me up. See that you disturb me, that I don't get my sleep back. Try it. I'm telling you practical things. Because I was never a guy who woke up in the morning in my life, entire life. Even in institutions where I worked, I had favor with the principals to whom I said, if I take 5 hours at a stretch, will you give me afternoon off to go to my quarters and sleep? And they said, sir, yes, you can go sleep because we need somebody to teach 5 hours. Because when I went to college, my shift was in the morning. That means afternoons I slept. And all my afternoons I slept until the Lord said, change it. I changed it. And woke up in the morning. But I realized it was not easy, so I went back and said, Lord, you wake me up, I'll wake up. And you keep me awake, see that I don't sleep. After that, I cannot sleep, I get up. I go try to turn around, I won't sleep. Because there is somebody, that is called grace. And you have to humble yourself to receive grace. You have to tell God, I can't do it, I need help. I'm helpless. I need help. In the little things, in the big things, I need help. Because you know what? I know I am saved. I'm not worried about my salvation. But I don't want to lose what you have for me there in eternity. Now there are a lot of people in life you will see they regret. Their regret is because when they should have studied in their youth, they did not study. Now they are in their 30s, 40s. They are running around pillar to post, Praja, Mela and all that is starting with their certificates, no jobs, because when you should have studied, you didn't study. bunked classes, played hooky, went over there and all, no? See, these new kind of jobs hadn't come, which are technical skills and not real education. Most of you would struggle. In the old days, these skills were wanted. You need to be really educated and to compete, and the jobs were very little. To get a job was not easy. Now it is not. You don't need to know anything. If you look at the universities, what they are teaching, they're not even teaching English anymore. It's just language. They only want skills. They don't want any character. They don't want any education. Nothing. You are all like mechanics. But the kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is a completely different picture altogether. So sometimes God uses a person in the wilderness for 40 years to build him into something so that can fulfill the purpose. Even his own son, 30 years for a 3.5 years ministry. 30 years. So that preparation time is not wasted. And many of you are in that stage. You are being prepared. It's not wasted. Fight. It's a long war. It's a long, long war. Don't give up. Jesus, God said, there are nations bigger than you. Kings mightier than you. But Joshua overcame them all. He overcame them all. That's what the Bible says. But for us, we need to realize in the spiritual realm, Colossians 2 says, Jesus overcame. That's what it says. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. We are not fighting flesh and blood. He's won it. He's done it. And therefore, Corinthians 15 says, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says he takes us in triumph. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. Every time, every place. Go back to Joshua 21:44. That is the promise. How do you apply it? The Lord gave them rest all around. Turn it around to new covenant. It's completely different. 2 Corinthians 4:7, 8, and 9. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels that excellence of power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side. They had rest on. We are have no rest on every side. Yet are not destroyed. Have rest inside. Israel had rest all around. But they actually had no rest inside. Do you see the difference? God says you will have trouble all around, but I promise you rest inside. Promise you rest inside. Trouble all around. This is the testimony of an awesome believer. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not. Think about it, something being pressed from all sides, but it's not being crushed. Then that material has to be really strong. What is it? God in him. The treasure in the vessel is earthen, but it's not being crushed because the vessel has been filled by the presence of God. Not crushed. We are perplexed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Next verse. Persecuted. Not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. This is rest. This is rest. This is rest. Think. Okay. Like I said, we are still living in a free state. How long it will be, I do not know. 2024 will tell you which way things go. Don't trust any politician. If the things go the other way and they sweep the next elections also, suddenly all politicians will have a change of heart and they will go to the other side. Okay. The problem is we are the ones who will get caught. The question is, how will you handle the crisis when it comes? When it comes. If things get bad, do you have rest? If you do not have rest in your marriage, in your home, in your workplace, if you are tired, as the word of God says, with foot soldiers, what will you do when the horsemen come? That's a question that is asked. What will you do? Enter into his rest. See that the treasure in that jar is full. The jar is full of him. Because the problem is this. If you look at the history of the church, everybody didn't come through. Most people compromised and went the other way. Even Demas did. They compromised and said, I don't believe anymore. They went to the other side. That is why God is allowing these things. And therefore we need to be prepared. There is a rest he promises. Rest comes at different levels. That's what God is talking about. There's a very curious incident as we come to the close. There's a very curious incident in Joshua's time in the history of the second generation. Joshua 17. This is from verse 14 to 18. Read carefully. I know you are sleepy, though I don't know why you are sleepy. I should be sleepy, right? 14 to 18. Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua saying, why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now? Joshua answered and said, if you are a great people, then go up to the forest country, clear a place for yourself in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you. But the children of Joseph said, the mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both of those who are Bethshan and its town, and those who are in the valley of Jezreel. Joshua answered. Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, you are a great people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot. But the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down. Its furthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong. Giving you a small aspect of the war they fought. Okay, listen carefully. First thing you need to understand in the context, Moses is a type of God and Joshua is a type of Jesus. That's why his name and Jesus' name is the same, Yeshua. And Joshua is speaking to them with authority. The reason he's speaking to them with authority is not only because he is the leader, but he is also an Ephraimite. He's from the tribe of Ephraim. Okay? He knows the history of Israel. He knows when Joseph's sons were blessed, God had put the younger ahead of the elder. So, he spoke to the house of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. The order is given. He knows how Jacob had blessed Manasseh, Ephraim, and Manasseh. He also knows how Moses had blessed Joseph, Manasseh, Ephraim, and Manasseh. It is there in Deuteronomy 33:13, but we look at the last two verses, 16 and 17. Listen carefully. With the precious things of the earth and its fullness, the favor of him who dwelleth in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of who was separate from his brothers. His glory is like a firstborn bull. His horns are like the horns of the wild ox. Together with them he shall push the peoples to the ends of the earth. They are 10,000s of Ephraim and there are thousands of Manasseh. This is what Moses had already spoken. Now go back to Joshua, how he's speaking to Ephraim and Manasseh in Joshua 17:17 and 18. Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh. You are a great people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot. Why? But the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down. Its furthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong. He says, it doesn't matter how big your enemy is, what weapons they have. It has already been spoken. It has already been spoken. Moses, God has spoken through Moses, you are like a wild ox. You shall push them to the furthest extent. It's already been spoken. Go take it. He says, stop dwelling on your problems. Instead, start focusing on the promises. If you didn't hear anything tonight, listen to this. 2024, stop focusing on the problems. Start focusing on the promises because it has been spoken. They may be chariots of iron. They may be wild and numerous, but it doesn't matter. What matters is what did God speak to us? And Joshua is speaking to them because he's one among them. He's from the tribe of Ephraim, from the house of Joseph. He's flesh and blood, kin to them. Do you know what Ephesians 5:30 says? For we are members of his body, his flesh and bones. One greater than Joshua is our flesh and blood. Christ is my kin. Christ is your flesh and blood. He is. We are of him. We are of him. And Paul, the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Paul, lists the enemies we will face. There's a list of the iron chariots that are in the land right now when we are living. It is written in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? This is what God's people. On Christmas Day, over 150, 200 Christians were killed in the churches in Nigeria. For 7 days back. And they're being killed everywhere. And God says, these are the giants you're facing, the chariots you're facing. But your flesh and blood, your kin, has spoken something in verse 37. In all these things. In all these things. In all these things. What are we? More than conquerors. I will not let the iron chariot go over me. In all these things, you have to read verse 35. And go and list this. And make it your confession. In tribulation, I'm an overcomer. Because Christ overcame. In distress, I'm an overcomer. In persecution, I will not recant. I will not. I'm an overcomer. In famine, I'm an overcomer. In nakedness, in peril or sword, it doesn't matter what comes. I have rest because I'm dwelling on the promises. I am more than a conqueror. He has spoken. That's what Joshua is telling Ephraim. You are great and I agree. We are a great nation, I agree. Now go and take the land. Why? Because it's been spoken. You don't prepare when the famine comes. You are prepared when the famine comes. You don't prepare when the war comes. You are prepared when the war comes. You're not prepared when tribulation comes. You're prepared when it comes. Because you have entered into his rest. We fight from rest. That is how by faith we enter into his rest. Because we go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, till the day we die, that promise stands. Till Jesus comes back, the promise stands. He says, anybody who believes can enter into that rest. It stands. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Do you know in verse 4, who is he talking about? For he had spoken in a certain place. Do you know who spoke that? Moses spoke that in the book of Genesis. In verse 7, David spoke about it. In verse 8, Joshua spoke. None of them could give rest. It is Jesus alone. Jesus alone. And we have come to Jesus. He's our flesh and blood. He's our kinsman. And he says, you can. You can. You can. So in 2024, as we close, remember 4:11. We have to strive to enter. Focus on the person and his promises. Don't focus on the problems. If you focus on the problems, like Peter, even if it is Jesus who bids you, come, you will sink. Lord, if it is you, come. And he was looking at him and he was walking over his problems. And then he looked around and started sinking. Don't take your eyes off him this year. Your default setting is my eyes are on him. Every morning rise and get back. Walk through that day. Don't look at your problems. Don't look at your problems. Look at the promises. Whatever you are going through. Home, marriage, workplace, whatever it is. We haven't faced the big things. Even COVID we came through without a single death. And well fed. Too well fed. So what the Bible is talking about, we haven't faced anything. Not yet. So if you are not able to overcome those little things, what will we do when the big things come? So learn to enter into his rest. So, Matthew 11:28, he says, come. 29, he says, take. 11, he says, labor. And 21:40 words, he says, I shall give you rest all around. Do you believe?
Amen.
If you believe, say amen.
Amen.
You believe. And the battle begins now. First will come Halim. Battle will begin. I'm telling you again. Okay, we fasted for 7 days. Who are all fasted? Even little children fasted is good. But little children, okay, train them. But in 2024, make fasting a discipline. Make fasting a discipline. So when famine comes, you won't be hungry. You're used to it. Somebody who's has a habit of fasting. When I went to Malaysia, when we were eating during the meetings, I looked at a young brother. He didn't eat. Next day also he didn't eat. Next day also he didn't. I said, what happened? You're fasting. He said, I'm fasting. He said, how many days? He said, this is my 270th day. I said, what? How many meals do you eat? He says, only one meal. I said, why? Because God said to fast. You think those people are bothered about famine? They're not bothered about famine. But we are not fasting for famine. We are fasting because it's a discipline. It's a spiritual discipline. Get these disciplines. The discipline of prayer. The discipline of fasting like Jesus. Because the demonic is going to increase. Because politics is fought on the demonic. So it's going to increase. And you need to overcome. You need to have these disciplines. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things which you need. It's his guarantee. The king's guarantee. I will add to you. Guaranteed. It's not Modi's guarantee. Which is Jesus' guarantee. I will add it to you. So make this decision. Shall we stand up? And we shall pray. We shall begin this year in confidence with boldness. And we shall make all these things. We'll give you the promise, the cards later. And you can write it, meditate on it. Make your confessions. Walk in it. But above all, stay humble. Stay humble. God has to lift you up. You have to be stooped down. humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. In due season, he shall lift you up. Father, this early morning we come to you. It doesn't matter how 2024 turns out. The only thing that matters is that you are with us and we are with you. We have your promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But I pray, Lord, help us to stay close to you. Close, close to you. Help us to strive, labor each day to enter into your rest. Help us to get our priorities right this year. Starting today, knowing that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are kingdom people. We have a king and a mandate from the king to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. We are ambassadors. We are peacemakers. We are sent out into the world to cause reconciliation, to draw men to Christ and not to ourselves. Every office, every place we are placed, it is for a purpose. Help us never to forget whose we are. Never, never forget. I pray 2024 be a year many, many young people will discover their purpose. Their wanderings would stop. Their purpose they would discover. And like you, they would set their face like a flint towards that purpose. They would be excited about it. They would work at it to be the best they can be for what God has called them. I pray for healing and restoration in lives and homes. But I also pray people will not focus on their problems, but they will go through the word and God will speak to them and they will dwell on the promises. Ephraim had forgotten what Moses had said, and it took another Ephraimite leader to remind them. Don't forget. Don't look at the Canaanites. Lord, don't look at the iron chariots. You will extend your borders till the end. You will definitely do it. Because you have a promise. We have a promise greater than one from Joshua, our kinsman redeemer, Jesus. And he has already spoken to us over every situation in our life. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. In all this, he has spoken. Therefore, I can rest. I can rest because I have a promise. For it is written, those who believe are those who enter into that rest. And I pray this year faith will keep arising in your children. More and more, stronger and deeper. In faith we will grow. And we will grow from rest to rest. And if you come this year, and I pray everyone would be ready. Everyone in the church would be ready. Everyone would be able to say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Touch, Lord. Touch. Touch, Father. Even now, touch. Many sick in their bodies, but I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And I pray they will receive their healing by faith. They will look up to the cross and they know by his stripes we were healed. By faith. By faith they will receive their healing. Looking unto the cross, the finished work of the cross. Those who are traveling tonight, driving tonight, will reach home safely. Looking unto the promise that he looks at our going out and our coming in. He watches that they will all reach home safely. Our young people who finish school, college this year will do well. Looking unto the promise. They will do well. I'm called to be the head and not the tail. To excel and not to be defeated. I have grace, unmerited grace for that. And because of grace, I can work harder than anybody else. They will believe and do well. That would be their testimony. Everyone in their workplaces will do well, as Joseph did well. And their bosses would know their God is with them. Everywhere. They would walk in rest. They would walk in peace. They would walk in strength. And they would never fear to witness who their God is. No one standing here, I pray, would ever be ashamed of Jesus. Because you were not ashamed of us on the cross. Give them boldness. Boldness, everyone. Let everyone be true witnesses this year, O Lord. Help us to witness Christ with and without words. For in him was life, and that life was the light of men. As your servant, I bless your people in your name. May the hand of God rest upon them from the beginning till the end of the year. And when we look back, if you tarry to come, we'll be able to say, this was the Lord's doing, and it was beautiful, marvelous, awesome in our eyes. Father, we just thank you, we praise you, we worship you, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray, amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen.